Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
What a journey we've been on with these Brosnan Bonds.
It's been an epic tale, hasn't it?
Do you feel like they reflect life? Because it starts off and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, and then things go on and you're like, do I hate everything that's ever happened?
My goodness, this really did have an effect on you.
It certainly did at the time and now. Please leave a like if you could. We've done all the Bonds. We've done all the video games. That's coming up in this also.
I mean, not all the Bonds.
No.
There's many more Bonds to go.
Oh boy, is there.
From earlier in the history of the world.
Yeah.
But what, I feel this more is a journey of a man just seeing what he can get away with in his life and just slowly getting like creepier and more lecherous.
Yeah.
And just drinking harder and trying less, you know? I'm talking Bond, not Brosnan.
Like, you can't fault him
for
these movies, really. He's good in all of them. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
But it's just this Bond who's like, you know, he starts off quite subtle and kind of smooth, but later he's just like, just staring a woman down and being like, how about it?
Yeah.
What are you reckon about this?
I like your body and let's have sex with each other.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, straight out of the gate with the gun barrel sequence.
Yes.
When you see the bullet whiz towards you and pass the camera, that's when you know.
This ain't your grandpa's Bond movie anymore. No. Absolutely. This is the first and only time in a Bond movie that the bullet comes out of the gun. Like, we were so used to it at this point. We're like, well, nothing's going to thrill us. We've seen everything Bond has to offer. Oh!
It's weird, though, because it's not the era of 3D. Like, why do it? What does it add?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. This is the director of Once Were Warriors.
Also, that suggests that the bullets...
And Triple X, obviously. Yeah.
That also suggests that the bullet went all the way through the enemy's gun barrel.
Yeah.
Like, through the gun, and then out, and then it killed him.
Yes.
He's a really good shot.
He's an excellent shot.
This ain't your grandpappy's Bond.
No, it certainly isn't. One of the things I really dislike about the worst Bond moments is how he's inexplicably good at things that he shouldn't be good at.
Give me an example.
Surfing. It's just he's surfing it at the start.
The
he's surfing
MI6 surf team. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
You know, I can accept that he can ski because he's kind of...
His
great at gambling.
His parents were killed in an avalanche.
Yeah.
He's entitled to be... Yeah. Be good. But I mean, his parents weren't killed when they were attempting to, you know, hang 10 in Oahu.
No, certainly not.
So he doesn't get to have it.
Yeah.
You're right.
That being said, though, the opening sequence of this, where he infiltrates the army and he's selling arms and he's wearing his cool shades and he's looking a bit old. He's got a few of the old man spots. You probably noticed in this one. But again, he's still looking good. And all the hovercraft and the chase and all that. I feel all of that is classic Bond.
Yes.
But then when he gets released, that's when the wheels really fall off this. Mm. It's the song. The song lets you know it's the worst song ever written.
Do you think the song was a curse?
It may be a curse, yeah.
Do you think the song was... Well, here's the thing. In rewatching this, I didn't like it at all in the cinema. There are elements of this where I go, oh, okay, I see where they were going with this. Again, they're borrowed elements from previous Bonds. Like, this is meant to be Roger Moore silliness.
Yes.
Like, if they gave a Roger Moore movie a budget of $100 million, this is what they would have come up with, ultimately.
Yeah.
And so some of it, I'm like, oh, I kind of get it. But the idea that this is still the Bond of GoldenEye is absolutely thrown out the window.
And it's implied in this movie that it is, because when he goes into the new Q's office workspace, all the old gadgets are there. You see
the
crocodile and
the jetpack.
And the jetpack and all of those different things, which is a nice nod. Just quickly getting back to the song, though. I'm not a musician at all. My knowledge of music is limited at best.
And what happened to you here is now you'll never be a musician, because this disrupted something
in
your brain.
It's broken my brain. But genuinely, though, are there missing notes and words in this song? Because it feels like it doesn't, like they've just cut out random parts of this song.
I think that was maybe kind of cool at the time, or maybe, because Madonna's always been about embracing the latest musical trend.
And she rapped of, that time.
Yeah, that's for sure. What I enjoyed most about this song and listening to it is it has the lyric, "I guess I'll die another day." Like, I mean, I guess.
I made it.
She's also song. In this, and I think she's fine in a limited screen time.
Yeah,
she's the fencing instructor.
Is that the only time that the person who performs the song is in the movie? I know it's happened in video games. Joss Stone is in one of the video games.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is she in Bloodstone? Is she the titular Bloodstone?
Playing Bloodstone? You never find out what the Bloodstone is.
Probably Joss Stone.
I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. There's some wonky as shit CGI in this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like the bit where they're fighting on hovercrafts, it's very clearly they're just standing in a nothing space.
Mm-hmm. There's also some very convenient, there's just some very convenient happenings in that hovercraft chase sequence. At one point, Bond is being shot at by one of his opponents, and he just happens to find a bulletproof vest. He just needs to advance on this bad guy. So he's like, oh, bulletproof vest. I'll just use this as a shield.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
He's very lucky.
We may as well talk about it now, but the windsurfing sequence might be the dumbest thing in cinema.
I've referred to it here as the rocket car laser chase parasailing bit.
Yeah.
Because he's in a rocket car.
Yeah.
Like some sort of land ski rocket car.
He's out running the sun. It's right. Not really the sun, but you know.
Yeah, it's as good as the sun.
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
From the sun.
If you're not going to call a ship the Titanic,
don't
call any kind of space-based platform Icarus.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
Hadn't they seen the movie Sunshine that came out 5 years after this?
No.
Idiots. Yeah. I also feel like the gadgets and tech here just get way out of hand. And again, that speaks to that kind of, what if you gave Roger Moore $100 million? What would Roger Moore do with $100 million?
He'd probably give it to charity.
He probably would. He seemed like a very nice man. Mm. But things like DNA replacement, VR glasses, the laser torture is out of control. Just that spinning, like a room where you can't escape that.
Yes.
Luck alone would not let you walk out of that
but
room.
But I feel that's, again, this is reminiscent of the old ones that they went, okay, let's do the laser torture thing from Goldfinger.
Yes.
But times a million.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be better?
Let's do it.
Nope.
No. You've made it worse. A lot worse. How do you feel about the invisible car, though? Because it's not the worst thing in this movie.
No, it's not the worst thing in the movie, but it sort of defeats the point of Bond being the world's greatest super spy. Again, I feel like in giving me the gadget, I could do the same job Bond did.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Probably too much. I could get in that car and turn it invisible and roll it into somebody's headquarters. Easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what? I'd probably park it outside and it would get snowed on and people would be like,
oh, Nick Mason's here.
Is that a ghost? Is that a ghost with snow on it? The ghost of a car?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's not me. Certainly not me.
One thing that people always point to as a high point of this is the fencing, because it's visceral and real. Right? They sped it up just a little. I don't think it's good. I think it escalates wildly for no reason. And they're just smashing through each other and suits of armor and glass cases. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, Bond gets one hit on this guy in the fencing sequence, and the guy he immediately loses his mind and he like throws off his jacket and he's like, oh, well, let's do some real fights. And then they bring out sabers. I feel like one step further, I'd be like, let's have a real fight. And it's just big planks of wood with like railway nails through them.
Yeah,
just swinging
just
them
wild. Wailing into each other. I also don't buy the villain's plan at all. The fact that they've completely altered his DNA so he's a British white guy.
Yeah.
And I also kind of like the idea that he did model himself on Bond. But the fact that this guy literally fucking drops out of the sky from nowhere and he's getting a knighthood and he's the talk of the town. Does anybody want to look into this guy for even a second?
Here's the thing. Look, I want to talk about everybody's plans.
Fair enough if he replaced like another guy.
Yeah. First of all, yes.
No, that's not what happened.
Here's the thing, and I'd like to talk about everybody's plans. First of all, Bond's plan initially, like right at the start of the movie, what was his plan? Because it was to put some C4. Also, first of all, the C4 just has C4 on it.
So
we, the audience, know what it is. But his plan was to put C4 into this case and then wait, I guess, till his target literally had his face in it.
Yeah.
Because he sets it off, only somebody right next to it dies. Everybody else seems to be fine.
My understanding of it was,
yes,
and I don't understand anything about this movie, but was that was his escape plan, if need be, because he tethered it to his watch. He was going in to find out some information, hoping to leave or get an assassination in if he needed to, or blow it up as he's flying off.
Also, Bond doesn't think facial recognition is a thing at this point. I mean, come on, Bond.
Yeah.
Second thing, in rewatching this, Diamond Face's face.
Yeah.
doesn't have nearly as many diamonds in it as I remember.
No.
And they're not as impressive as I remember either. And also, why didn't anybody take him out?
They're just on the surface.
He was in prison for like months. He was in MI6 custody and they didn't take him out. They're like, no, I better keep those in
but
there.
But they're literally just sitting on the surface of his skin as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could just flick him out.
You just flick him out. You'd probably do like a, you know, some sort of moisturizing regime and they just come right out. But anyway, to your point, Gustav Graves, he does come out of nowhere. And I think at the time, I'm like, that makes no sense. How did MI6 not dig deep enough?
Yeah.
Into him, you know. Surely they would be curious and they would bring him down that way. But in modern times, the current Prime Minister of Great Britain will not confirm or deny how many children he has, and people are still like, that seems fine. Anyway, sorry to get political on this, James, by naming someone in the political sphere.
I've warned you about this.
Anyway, sorry to name a politician and therefore get political.
You're an absolute disgrace, Mason.
That's right.
This is the left-wing media gone mad.
Mm.
Yeah. So Michelle Yeoh was supposed to return for the Hong Kong stuff that appears in this movie.
Uh-huh.
That couldn't be worked out, unfortunately. But they do introduce the character of Jinx. And I've just written here, the first interaction between them is so horrible that it might be the worst scene ever written in a movie.
Is that when she emerges from the water?
Yep. Like, I mean, it's a classic Andrus, callback. It's a classic callback. Though Daniel Craig did it better, like if we're talking callbacks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then they have some sort of conversation about he's an ornithologist or something. He's a bird watcher.
Well, she says, my friends call me Jinx. And he says, my friends call me James Bond.
Guess what, James Bond? You don't have any friends.
And who introduced, what do your friends call you? My friends call me my full name.
That's right. But that's a clear sign.
Yeah.
I'm sure he turned around later and he's like, oh my God, nobody I know likes me. James Bond every time? Because that's what you call one of your friends if you know too many Jameses.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That's what they're in your phone as.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, James Bond, what's up?
Also, that eating fruit in bed is weird. That love scene is,
yeah,
I don't know what
right?
that's supposed to be.
Yeah, I'd be like, I've got to leave, actually.
Yeah.
I don't mind, again, in second viewing this, I didn't hate. Look, I think what I more hated was the idea of we're going to shove this new character in your face and she's going to get a spin-off. She's going to be your new favorite.
You're going to love it. You're going to kiss it.
Right? But I didn't mind her as sort of the opposite number of James Bond. They kind of just use each other for sex before their own separate missions.
That's fine with me. I think she's fine in this. But I think together they don't mesh at all. They have no chemistry.
Yeah, right.
They just kind of stand in front of each other, just kind of one-upping each other with terrible dialogue.
One thing I enjoyed very much, though, is that obviously the other Bond girl is Miranda Frost.
Yes.
As played by Rosamund Pike.
First appearance in a movie.
Good on her.
Yeah. She went on to do Doom.
And other stuff, probably.
And much better movies.
Much better movies, right? But she would have been feeling pretty fragile after those first two.
You're not wrong, yeah.
But there's a moment where a fencing duel between Jinx and Miranda Frost on the cargo plane at the end.
Hot stuff.
And there's a just absolute ripping dialogue where I think Frost says to Jinx, I can read your every move, and then...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jinx hits her with a Bible and then stabs her through the chest
The Art of War.
It's The Art of War. There we go. And then may as well be the Bible. That's my Bible, The Art of War. And then she's like, read this. But there's a moment afterwards where Bond comes back in, and Bond obviously, you know, he's been betrayed by this woman.
Yeah.
You know, he trusted her. She betrayed him and he ended up in prison. He's got a lot of feelings about the whole situation.
Scorpions.
Yeah, right.
All that scorpion shit happened to him.
That whole deal. And then Jinx is like standing over a dead body and she's like, I think I broke her heart. And there's a moment where you can sort of feel Bond go, oh, that's what I do to everybody all the time, is I kill someone and then I say a little quip. I don't think about what it does to other people. And she's done it. She just done it. Oh, no, I'm going to change my ways.
It's like him being outside of himself. The one
but he really goes, oh, no.
That's incredible. So I just did also a bit of reading on the Jinx spin-off film.
Oh, I'm ready.
Where she is also a cold, calculated, heartless killer.
Oh, I'm ready to hear about it.
So because of the low box office performance of Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, and Tomb Raider 2, which were both MGM properties, MGM pulled the plug on this because they were like, well, these female-centric action movies don't work. They would if you made a good one, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, there's some sort of correlating factor in these movies. It must be there's a lady in them. Is it? Is that maybe that's not it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Look, we hate to get political again because, you know, talking about women is often considered political.
That's right.
Yeah, 50% of the population. You know the bit where they're doing all the ice stuff? They're like, man, we're loving scooting around on the ice.
Yeah.
I mean, it was touted in this movie. It was like, this is a big moment. It's finally the villain gets a car.
That's right.
You get a car off.
Where'd he get it, first of all?
I don't know. Does it matter?
Kind of.
I mean, everything matters, doesn't it?
Because it only really makes sense in a world. Because, like, why wouldn't you just have a tank? Because it's on, you know?
Yeah, that's not incorrect.
It only works in a world in which you already know about, like, if you've watched a lot of James Bond movies.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Because James Bond should be like, what the fuck is this? I never experienced this in my life.
Yeah.
Is Q selling cars? Is this version of Q working for the enemy also?
Maybe. Yeah, got to make some bucks on the side.
Pierce Brosnan also mentioned that he got a custom-made one of those that fit him specifically. And they weren't going to give him one, but his agents pushed for it. And then he lost it in a fire. So he's only got the number plates. But
Yeah,
he got one.
Wow.
But the thing about that lake is, to make that work, because that lake is connected to the ocean via a river, it takes a lot for it to freeze because the salt water would get in. And obviously salt water has a...
It rusts, it corrodes.
Well, not corrodes. Salt water is more difficult to freeze than regular water.
Oh, yeah, right.
So what they had to do, they had to dam up the river to stop the salt water getting in to freeze this thing off. That's the kind of money they were spending on this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I do want to talk about the potential future of this franchise that didn't happen.
Okay.
And some that did. But do you want to see the electricity suit in action, but in a terrible video game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ah!
I'm not going to play it, though. You have to play it.
Yes. Oh, if you're watching the extended audio, it's in the video. Get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, what?
You can't hear a video game.
Would you think you were going to see the video game on a podcast, you idiots?
You can only see our balls. Gotcha. But thanks for listening to this. Not many people do, to be honest.
That's right. Yeah, because it's so rude, probably. It's probably because it's so rude.
We're much meaner. It's too rude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every week I like to go, Mason, I've got some clothing report questions for you.
I'm ready.
And I thought, look, do I talk about his little Cuban outfit? I mean, I could, obviously. I could talk about it for days. But what I really want to talk about is when he gets back to the hotel and he's got his shaggy beard and his shaggy hair and he just walks in with his pajama top open.
I feel it was closed in the prior scene and he's about to enter the hotel and he's like, well, I'm looking pretty rough and tumble.
Yeah.
Better show my chest hair so everyone's intimidated.
Everyone knows who I am.
That's right.
What is that? Like, what kind of power play is that? What is he doing?
Yeah.
You don't want to do up your shirt?
And you don't...
You're a fucking maniac. Get it together.
And you know what? It's rude to do it to service staff. You know what I mean?
It really
is. Because the whole deal is like, you recognize me, don't you? I'm James Bond, right? And he's put this dude in an uncomfortable position where he has to knock back this guy. And then he's like, surprise, I'm your best customer. But I've got a beard and no shirt on for some reason, you know? It's rude.
That's
just be like, hello, my name's James Bond.
Yeah.
My friends call me James Bond. They say, hello, James Bond. Anyway, I'm a regular customer. I'm on your system.
Yeah.
But I've lost all my clothes and my money because of Korean torture. If you could just check.
Just be like, recognize me? Why would they? This guy doesn't know you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And because obviously you've gained weight in prison also.
That's right. Well, I remember reading a bit of trivia that at the start of his life as James Bond, he was the lightest James Bond. Then he became the heaviest. But that bit of trivia has since been removed from IMDb.
Oh.
I wonder, though, whether that's true, because he's not huge.
No, he's not huge.
Yeah,
true,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So
I would have taken advantage, though.
If definitely.
If I were Brosnan, I'd be like...
I'm blowing out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can we add a line where they only fed me donuts in prison? Can we do that? Is that...
Also, I want to mention this, and Ben's going to put in a terrific montage.
Okay.
Some of the worst quips and one-liners I've ever seen in a James Bond movie. Because normally you can do one or two and you get away with it, but this is just constant. It's just non-stop. Anyway, you'll put that in. It's not in the extended audio. Get the fuck out of here. You can't see it here.
As if we're going to remember them, you know? God.
I actually have written them down with time codes. So
oh, good
Ben
for you.
Ben could find them a bit easier. Anyway, as it is with all of these movies, they covered most of the budget with product placement. $120 million worth through 20 companies. This one's particularly egregious, I feel. Sometimes it's quite subtle.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Sometimes not as much.
No.
I don't hate it because it's a staple of the franchise, but don't linger on a shot of like Don Perignon and whatever. So how do you say that?
Yeah, that's
Don
how you
Perignon?
Say it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to circle back because I do this every week. Does this movie end with James Bond, Pierce Brosnan, lying on top of a woman, yep, like it does in nearly all of his films except the first one?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Except also, they're lying in jagged diamonds. I don't understand things.
They live for danger. They've both wanted to do this for years. They've just never had the chance.
They live for micro cuts and slowly bleeding out.
Yeah, exactly.
Great,
and they're like,
really,
oh my
good
God, so many people died.
Yeah.
So many people died mining these. Let's rub them on ourselves.
Oh, let's please do it. Do you have Meso's notes things? Do you
Meso's
to...
miscellaneous notes, okay, absolutely.
Do you want to jump into that?
Yeah, okay, look, use as many of these as you like.
So do you want to just do the intro of the notes?
Oh, yeah.
Like talk about, and because this is me, that was me prompting you off mic.
I see, right, okay, yeah.
This is great extended audio.
James, would you like to hear?
Hang on, you spoke over me.
Oh, my God.
We're going to get a clink cut into it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And 3, 2, 1, action. Ready to go. go.
James, would you like some of Meso's miscellaneous notes?
It's my favorite segment. You know I do.
Meso's miscellaneous manifesto. So I'm building a manifesto.
This is really great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm building my existential philosophy based on stuff I see in bad movies. Wow. So this is on you, ultimately, for making me watch these. Okay. At 11 minutes, 45 seconds, there is some unbelievably unconvincing continuity as Bond dodges a blast from a flamethrower. You may not remember it, but the flamethrower gets shot at him.
Mm.
And then he's just spun 360 degrees and he's just diving off the side of the hovercraft. It's pretty great.
Okay.
When Gustav Graves is introduced, I thought to myself, I can't believe someone would use the Union Jack parachute for evil. It's always been a force for good.
That's really
Bond,
true.
Austin Powers probably.
Yeah, Austin Powers probably.
Richard Branson at some point. stretching it a bit. But still.
The intention wasn't evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like John Cleese's cue in this.
Me too.
I feel like there was a Holy Grail flesh wound joke built
there
into
was.
There.
Yeah,
but I feel he's really well suited. I kind of wish he would have gotten another go around.
Well, he did, and we'll talk about it.
Oh.
In a minute.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's see. I've written here, it'd be very funny if Bond got to Jinx when the laser had already gone halfway through her. That'd be funny.
And he'd be like cutting remark, I don't know.
Splitting headache.
Yeah. Let's split the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been cut in half by a laser.
Yeah, then he'd probably text like one of her family members, call them up or something and be like, she's dead. I have many questions about the VR simulator that is in this movie.
Mate, you and me both.
First of all, it's so realistic, it could include both cleaning your gun or filling in detailed paperwork. Because that's how, when Bond's in it, that's how it starts.
Yeah.
He's just cleaning his gun with a... Does he have to hold the
Does he come out of it holding the gun, though? Because maybe that's a real gun.
Yeah, maybe. So that means he's just had a...
But he was also sitting in a chair.
Right?
How does that work?
I don't know.
Does Q come in and pull the chair out when he stands up?
Maybe. Maybe. But also, that sequence, it only makes sense. In any other character, you'd be like, this is obviously VR. Because Moneypenny's killed... And like all his co-workers are killed and he just breezes past him.
Mm.
It only makes sense if you're the heartless monster that is James Bond. Because any other character in that position would be like, oh my God, it's my friend Moneypenny.
Yeah.
Whose first name I know. But it's only Bond being like, oh, I call her Miss Moneypenny. That's her first name, to the best of my knowledge.
And finally they get it on in VR.
Yeah, that's right. But she's filling in like a full mission report. Did they make her do the
whole
thing?
She's really into it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess. Oh, yeah. That's she can't get off unless it's the...
It's the whole details
in there, yeah. There's a point at which Bond is infiltrating the genetic resort laboratory situation.
Oh, yeah.
I've just noted here, it's very handy when security cameras have external power cables that you can remove without getting caught on camera.
That's really handy.
Just walks up to it and pulls the cable out and he's like,
done it. I've done it, haven't I? I've
absolutely done it. That's all I got.
That's great. I love it. Well, didn't you have a note from last week?
Look, I do have a note from last week.
Yeah.
If you'd like to put this in somehow, I don't know.
It's going
to
go right here.
I'm like, all right, perfect. Look, in the previous movie, the action kicks off when a bunch of money is primed as an explosive.
Oh, yeah.
And then a hitman's target sort of walks in and sets off a radio transmitter that blows it all up and he dies. Bond learns this. He discovers that the money is explosive because it's been treated with something containing urea.
Yeah.
They make a point of that in the briefing. They say, oh, the explosive was it contained urea. I didn't say it at the time, but that's the primary component in pee. So Bond spends a significant point. He spends almost the entire action sequence pursuing the assassin with pee on his hands.
Maybe that was his own pee and he didn't admit it. He was like, yeah, that definitely had piss on it. And people are like, that's not normally a thing with Bond. So this one did. He pissed on his hands. Yeah. He didn't wash his hands.
He gets ice out of the ice container. He puts it in his drink. His drink had pee in it. Anyway. Can this be a separate video? Just put this up. Just a little extra note.
So, on the future of this franchise, Pierce Brosnan has talked about this recently.
Pierce Brosnan,
yes. I'll do a clean one of that as well if I have to edit that out and put it in the other, because I might put it in the old video.
Yeah, good idea.
But Pierce Brosnan recently came out how he met with Tarantino about a follow-up.
That's right.
Which I remember also happening at the time, and Tarantino wanted to take it back to its roots and do it kind of a more retro-themed Bond movie, which is where I want the series to go. I want it to go back to the 60s. Obviously, that didn't work out. He also mentioned in a GoldenEye watch-through recently that he'd definitely come back as a villain, if asked, which has never been done before, which I think could be really interesting. But the other thing is, this isn't his last performance as James Bond, the same with Q or R, because in the game Everything or Nothing, which we have covered in Caravan of Garbage,
that's right.
That is the last Pierce Brosnan James Bond role.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say because they reprise their roles in a Visa commercial or something.
Yeah, well, they also do that. But it's also a much better game than the one we played, but also a much better movie than Die Another Day in a lot of ways.
That's a shame, but also good.
Yeah, it's a good game.
It's a mixed feeling for me.
I love mixed feelings.
Me too.
How do you feel about Brosnan in general, though? Because this is his least favorite Bond film. He wanted it grittier. He wanted less gadgets. He's openly said before that GoldenEye was the one for him, and then it's just kind of whatever after that. And even Roger Moore was like, I hated that one too. But what do you think of his legacy as Bond?
I think it's more solid than I remember it being the time.
And
there's at least two very solid ones.
Yes. And that's also hindsight, because when you're living in it, it's hard to, you don't have that perspective on it.
That's true.
Kind of looking back. But yeah, I think he did really well in the role, to be honest.
Yeah.
In some pretty shitty films.
Yeah, I think he was kind of at the mercy of, again, the Bond formula, which is sort of reaching for stuff that is popular at the time.
Yeah.
And also just looking back at the old franchise and being like, what did people like in the old stuff? Let's just pile that in, especially in the last couple. You know?
Absolutely. Terrible. Anyways, we did it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh my God. It was a lot, wasn't it?
I mean, we'll put this out and then the news will be like, MGM discovers long forgotten fifth Brosnan Bond movie. filmed it and we just forgot about it because it was so bad.
I really hope not. But yeah, look, if you do have any suggestions for Caravan of Garbage, please hit us up. That would be great. We're always running polls at patreon.com/MrSundayMovies if you want to choose what's up next. Here's a hint for what's happening next week, though. Also, of course, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
And we'll see you next week for another thing, maybe.
Grab that jimmy, guys. We'll see you real soon.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that's how we end,
I just blagged.
Well, you blanked at the exact right time. It's the point where we don't have to say anything else.
That's a really
good
point. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.